Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. We've already read a great portion of Deuteronomy chapter 30, but for our lesson for living, for our thoughts this morning, our devotional time, I want to go out of Deuteronomy 31. In just a little bit, I'm going to be asking Brother Alvin and Rhonda to come back up to share with you again exactly what will be taking place on the 21st. But let's get into the God's Word, if we could, for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 7. I did not realize, nor did they who were putting the bulletin together, that the very words that are on the front of our bulletin are the words that I'm about to read. Think about that. I think God is orchestrating this month. I mean, I really do in a big way, in a huge way. Deuteronomy 31 and 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all nations community church, in the presence of Israel, be strong. Say that with me. Be strong. Say it again. Be strong. And what? Courageous. Be strong and what? Courageous. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them, and you must divide it among them. See, God's promises are for everybody. There's nobody in here. God is an equal opportunity blesser. Doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what your history is, doesn't matter what your family did or didn't do, could afford, couldn't afford. God can afford everything. God's going to do everything. Hallelujah. I better stay on track. What did God say? He's going to divide it up among them as an inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Say that with me. Do not be afraid. Say it again. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We're getting ready. Three key words. Presenting ourselves to the Lord throughout the month of January. Preparing ourselves before the Lord in the month of January. And getting ready to penetrate this year with the power of God in the name of the Lord. When you drive 7 hours by yourself up to frozen, chosen Duluth, you have a lot of time to pray and seek God with your eyes open as you're driving. And the Lord, I had such sweet times with the Lord. And as I was sharing with the Lord and listening to the Lord, he was sharing with me. Rarely turned the radio on, no music, just allow God to speak. He just affirms to me that we're on track. He told me I was a little bit out of sequence, but he straightened me out on that, but that's okay. The 21st of this month, on Saturday the 20th, we're going to present ourselves to the Lord in prayer at 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Please write that down. The men's fellowship are going to be meeting. The ladies are going to be gathering the week before. I'm inviting all the departments, all the ministries. Let's bathe our ministries in prayer. Be strong. Be courageous. Let's be bold. Let's plan big. Let's plan God. We're going to get together on Saturday the 20th. And today I had in my heart and announced that we would be anointing everybody today. And as I'm driving back, the Lord said, yes, that's my thought, but you're going to do it on the 21st after you spend time praying with one another on the 20th. And then present everybody to me on the 21st. Yes, God. All right. All right. So on the 20th, we're going to get together for prayer. The 21st, we're going to present one another before the altar. We're going to pray with you. We're going to anoint every family, every person, every child. We're going to anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. Before I get into my brief thoughts to you this morning, here's another exhortation I have for you. Starting next Sunday morning, I know we have coffee fellowship, but I'm going to invite everybody to try to get off the coffee wagon a little bit sooner. And I'm going to invite you to do exactly what the prophet says, I will stand in the watchtowers and I will watch. So I'm going to invite everybody by 10:15 in the next couple Sundays, every Sunday at 10:15. Even while the worship team is still wrapping up, I'm going to invite you to come and just walk the walls of the church. Come and stand in the corners and pray. Walk around and pray. Let's prepare the service in prayer starting next Sunday. Get in here a little bit earlier and pray. If they're singing, they're not going to bother you. It'll help you. And you'll help them. You can walk up and down in front of them. You can even make a smiley face at them if you want to. But I want us to prepare for the presentations of the Lord. Is that okay? Now, I'm not saying cut out coffee. I'm saying lay it down. Have one cup. You'll feel better. You'll sleep. You'll go to bed faster that night. So by 10:15 in the next couple of Sundays, let's just be walking around or standing. And let's just be watchmen on the tower. Can I get a witness? Can you do that? All right, all right. These people were about to move into some place they had never been before. They had been waiting and walking through Sinai for 40 years. And they're about to go into the promised land. They'd never been there before. They've been used to the same thing for 40 years. There's something comfortable about familiarity. There's something comfortable about familiarity. We may not like it. We may not like it, but we feel safe with familiarity. But I'm announcing to you today, in preparation for what God is doing in our congregation, I'm announcing to you today that God wants us to move out of our realm of safety and out of the realm of familiarity, because he's about to bring great change upon us, upon your family. I do not want my wife and daughter to be the same as they were last year. I want my daughter to excel even more this year. I want my wife to feel the anointing of God in her life even more. I want to walk in the sensitivity of the Lord in my life like never before. Yeah, I'm charged up. I celebrated the passing of a man who served the Lord for 65 years, and I sat there crying in the service, me and about 60 other pastors, and I cried, "Yes, God, I want to serve you to the end. Hallelujah. And I don't want to cripple my way there. I'm going to do it all the way with glory." Hallelujah. Don't you as well? Amen. So my first thought is this. The desire for safety stands against every great and virtuous dream. God wants us to dream. But the thing that stands against us dreaming is the desire for safety. Familiarity is safer than the unknown. Familiarity, just we just, you know what, I don't like it, but I'm used to it. In the Ukraine, during communist days, when they'd have to stand in line for 7 hours for a single loaf of bread, I was standing there with a lady once, and I was talking to her, and I said, "Well, in God, things are going to get better." You know what her attitude was? "Well, I don't know about that, but things could get worse." She was so used to standing in line, it was hard for her to think that things could get better. She was only hoping that what? Things wouldn't get what? Worse. God doesn't want things in your life to get worse. He's declaring a fresh day. And you've got to be willing to lay down safety and the security of safety for the virtuous opportunity of God giving you new dreams for your family, new dreams for yourself. Hallelujah. The security of the known is less threatening to people than the challenges of the unknown. The security of the known is less threatening than the challenges of the unknown. They didn't know what it was going to be like on the other side. They had a good idea. It took two guys to carry one cluster of grapes over their shoulders. Pretty good idea. They had been used to small little dinky raisins. Now they got the idea that when they got to the other side and they drained those and they were to dry up the grapes of the future, they'd be like the size of plums. They had an idea, but they weren't there yet themselves. They hadn't seen it. Some of you are thinking about marriage. Some of you are thinking about going to college. Some of you are thinking about maybe starting a little job or starting your own glorious coffee shop, a Gloria Bean coffee shop. Some of you are thinking about maybe should I? Yes, my answer to you is in God, do it. Do it. Don't be worried about the known. The security of the known is less threatening, I understand, than the challenges of the unknown. I know that. I came from a community of 800 to a city of 3 million when I came to the Bible college. Talk about cultural change. But I made it. I wanted it. Never looked back. Never turned around. I embraced it. And I'm here today because I was willing to say before God, I don't know what I'm going to encounter, but I know who's going to be there to encounter it with me, and that's God. Why? Because God said to Joshua, tell the people I'm going before them. Hallelujah. Tell them that I'm already there. Hallelujah. He's getting you set up for a great tomorrow, and God is already there. Hallelujah. You see, security many times is the first step towards stagnation. You can stay the same and say, well, I'm secure, but what does that mean? You're staying the same. And I've enjoyed and I've appreciated these last 3 years serving with you. And I, by God's grace, my assignment over the last 3 years was to help bring you spiritual inspiration, help bring you spiritual security, help bring you spiritual stability. And it sure would be so easy to say, well, let's stay as it is. But God has a fresh day for us, a fresh moment for our church, a fresh moment. And you got to move beyond security, and you got to move beyond what is known. It's easy to keep what is known, but God wants to lead you to the unknown. And he wants you to believe that it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Be strong and courageous because he says, I'm going to prosper you. You say, well, Pastor Harry, I'm afraid. That's all right. Here's what I learned. Once you start taking action, you can begin to overcome fear. Fear doesn't want you to act. Fear doesn't want you to change. Fear doesn't want you to move. But I've learned that once you begin taking action, I begin overcoming fear. Fear wants to paralyze you. Fear wants you to stay in your current state. Fear wants you to just stay where you are. But once you start taking action, you can overcome fear. And when you challenge your fears, I assure you, you can master them. When you begin to wrestle with your problems lose their grip on you. A lot of people don't like to wrestle with their problems. They don't want to take their problems on. They know they got a problem, but they don't want to do anything with it because they feel like the problems have got them. You start wrestling your problems, and your problems will let go of you. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world trying to wrestle you to the mat. So let me tell you this. If you dare nothing, you can expect nothing. If you dare nothing, you can expect nothing. And I'm here to declare to you today that we are serving a better than a nothing God. God has got everything ready for you. He's got all kinds of stuff poised and positioned for you. Turn with me now, before we close, to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Read what God says to us in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, one verse. Isaiah 41. Are you ready? Tell me when you're there. We went to from Deuteronomy 31 to Isaiah 41. Are you ready? You are there? You got it? Verse number 10. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, hallelujah. I will help you, hallelujah. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise the name of the Lord. God is with you. So write this last thought down. With him on your side, with him on your side, what you have is greater than what you lack. With Jesus and God on your side, what you have is greater than what you lack in the Holy Spirit. In a moment, I'm going to ask, in fact, I'll ask Brother Alvin to go ahead and start making his way down here. I'm going to ask Brother Alvin and Rhonda, they're going to visit with us again. What's going to happen at the end of our service on the 21st? I'm so excited with us. Some people have asked me, Pastor Harry, when we get a new pastor, what's going to happen to you? I'm going to be here to pester you. I mean, not by me. I'm so. God's good. I'm excited for us. Hallelujah. And God is wanting us to use this month wisely to get us ready. I didn't sing this song to you, but I told you about a church out in Kansas City that I've been a part of for years. They're on the cutting edge of prophecy. And there was a lady, Mary Brown, who attended that church. She was blind. She was blind. She couldn't see, but she was a person who sang words of encouragement to the church. And she got up once in a convention of about 600 pastors, and the Lord had her sing this song. I can't sing it. I'll sing it. Get ready for the Lord to move. Get ready for the Lord to move. Put your heart in his hand and listen to his voice. Get ready. And then she would say, and the Holy Spirit wants you to respond, I'm ready for the Lord to move. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Lord to move. I'll put my heart in his hand and listen to his voice. I'm ready. She sang it so sweetly, so beautifully. But I think you can sing it with me now. Sang it with me. And we'll let Rhonda and Rhonda finish us out singing it right, okay? Rhonda's gonna speak and Alvin, get ready. Here we go. Get ready. Get ready for the Lord to move. Get ready. Get ready for the Lord to move. Put your heart in his hand and listen to his voice. Get ready. All right, now make this your prayer. Are you ready to confess it now? Positive confession? I'm ready. I'm ready for the Lord to move. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Lord to move. I'll place my heart in his hand and follow his voice. I'm ready. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.